great divide, joy and peace will abide. Together we can make that change. Jesus is our peace, all fighting will cease. Together we can make that change. I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to make a change. I want my life some good here. I want my life to make a change.
I want my life to do some good here. I want my life to make a change.
The streets run perpendicular, but the grooves are same. Gravel scars of the fast and furious, and society's forgotten making life, and the sidewalk ends there, and connects to two schools shouldering the shuffle of adults becoming. Each day and every Wednesday, the trash can is rolled out, and the big truck makes its thunder. The can is turned upside down, rarely returning right side up, and it was one afternoon when she walked by, her granddaughter with the long black ponytail coming up to her shoulder, and she stopped without second thought and returned the upset can to that sidewalk lip and walked on. Home, maybe to make her nieta something warm next to lemonade and to talk about fractions or birds or what a small thing. As I watched from the window that I continue to carry in my pocket, because so beautiful is this, and rare to love.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round and tend these fires.
We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time ourselves into the world.
shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round attendees' fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great journey we shall learn to lead in love. In this great journey we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round attendees' fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the world. It is time now. And what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great journey we shall learn to lead in love. In this great journey we shall learn to lead in love.
Amen. Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Matt Smith, and along with Linda Duhirsu, we serve as the co-pastors for this phenomenal community of faith, and we are so, so grateful to be together both here in person and online as well to root our lives in grace each Sunday morning. We, as a community, grow in faith through what we call our kitchen tables. These are small groups with which gather on a weekly basis to hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment, loving God and loving our neighbors. We gather in those spaces to hold ourselves and life together, and then also to turn and to hold our lives in conversation with Scripture. Pastor Linda and I teach a six-week series, which we call Growing in Faith, to help newcomers connect with those kitchen tables. If you haven't already made your way into Growing in Faith, we are in the midst of one group now. We just filled up a group that'll start in March, and so we have one or two openings left for a Sunday afternoon group here, California time. I believe it's 4 p.m. California time. Yes, you can see that up there, 4 to 5:30 on Sunday afternoons, and so we would invite you to sign up today. We'll likely be closing registration for that class this afternoon. We, as a community, offer children's ministries on Sunday mornings outside during this time of pandemic. Our children meet at 9:30 outside for godly play, and then at 11 outside for loving childcare. And we, as a community, are reaching in love in so, so many different ways. One of those in the immediate week ahead is actually alongside other communities of faith to build homes with Habitat for Humanity's Build for Unity. We have a shift this coming Saturday that's completely full, and we have a couple of openings on the shifts for Thursday and Friday. So if you happen to be available, we would love to have you join those teams as we reach in love alongside others with Habitat. And then the small farm that we started together in the early months of pandemic in Hollywood Park also offers community volunteer shifts on Tuesdays and Fridays and Saturdays, and we would love for you to check those out. For our friends who are gathering online, we want to just remind you that Molly and Chloe are there. Should you have any issues, we'd invite you to direct message them. You're welcome to sign in as you feel led. You can find a virtual seat there to connect with others. It functions much like Zoom does. Here in the sanctuary, we have QR codes that are taking the place of bulletins, so we invite you, if you'd like to follow along with worship, to find one of those with your phone. And we encourage you, if this is a first time for you or you just want to connect with others, you can text the word new to the number that'll appear there on the screen in just a moment. If you text the word new to that number, it'll enter you into a conversation with Brendan, with myself, with Linda. And we're going to keep moving. We are in our final week. I was aware, looking up at the art that Corey created for us, I am going to miss this Ted Lasso series after today. We are in our fourth week of a worship series on gospel lessons with Ted Lasso. And this morning, Linda is going to share a message with us around a couple of different scenes from that. Scenes that invite us into holding one another amidst the realities of death, our own and our loved ones. And so we will move together in that. And to help us enter into that space, we're going to share a song that is printed in, I think, almost every English hymnal you can imagine, a song that is often sung at memorial services. It was written in the early 1800s by Henry Francis Light. And it's really unknown why, what might have inspired the creation of this song. But many people believe it was after visiting a dear friend of his who was moving toward death that he was inspired to write this. So this is our music team sharing "Abide With Me."
Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts help of the helpless, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay all around I see. Oh, thou who changes not, abide with me. Fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, tears lose their bitterness. Where is thy sting, death? Where thy thou abide with me. Holy
We encourage those here in the sanctuary and those online to follow along in your own Bibles or with the scripture you'll see on the screen from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it would come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love.
If you're able to stand, I'd like to invite you to join us on your feet this morning.
Loving every night and day, loving all our troubles away. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. Loving every minute and hour, loving past our own power. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. Love like there's no tomorrow.
Love for my brother.
Brother.
Love. may be seated. It's a good feeling to be a little out of breath before you preach. With musicians like this, I don't know how you sit still. Amen. Amen. In her book, which I love, called An Altar in the World, author Barbara Brown Taylor shares how it was that she came into the Christian faith while she was a student in college. She writes, "People I barely knew made a habit of telling me they loved me. They were Christians too, and I guess it was their way of welcoming me into the Christian family. I did not mind exactly, but since they barely knew me, I was not so sure what they were talking about. Did they love the way my right foot turned out so that I left tracks like a penguin on the beach? Did they love my willingness to make hand-printed signs for Bible study? Did they love the way my upper lip disappeared when I laughed?" So, she decides to try and find out. And the next time, one of the Christians on campus said that she loved her, Barbara asked her why. And the young woman, she says, looked back like in shocked surprise, as if Barbara should already know this and she should already understand why. And she said to Barbara something like, "Because God loves you." And she threw both hands in the air and looked at Barbara and said, "I love you because God loves everybody." And then Barbara writes this, which I appreciate deeply. "This may sound small, but I decided that was not enough for me. I did not want to be loved in general. I wanted to be loved in particular, as I was convinced God loved. Plus, I am not sure it is possible to see the face of God in other people if you cannot see the faces they already have." Rereading this week brought me right round to our scripture that Avery read, Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 13 on love. And even though this is often read at weddings, including my own and Chloe's, not yours, we know, we had wedding scripture competition. Sarah, you know, he thinks he won, but we know. It's important, though, in seriousness, to not domesticate this chapter and turn it into a Hallmark-style ode to sentimentalized ideas of love, because that's not what it is. Rather, it offers those early followers of Jesus and all of us a foundational ethic for the church community to love in particular. From what we can gather about the early church in Corinth, from chapters 12 and 14, so sandwiched on either side, the early Christians were becoming starkly divided, imagine that, in a debate related to spiritual gifts. Specifically, which spiritual gift is the greatest gift? This context of the dissent among early followers of Jesus in Corinth makes Paul's teachings about love all the more vivid. And instead of taking sides, Paul urges his audience to pursue love, active love, even amid their arguments, differences, and their dissent. So 1 Corinthians 13 opens up for us the challenges of loving one another in particular, in ways that are at once self-giving, as well as compassionate, caring, free of judgment, to love on every occasion. In short, it invites us to watch over one another in love. And we talk a lot about this at the table because we want this to be a community in which people learn to love in particular. We believe that by drawing upon the method in Methodism with a weekly small group gathering for the purpose of following Jesus, we will become proficient, or at least intentionally practiced, all right, in the ways of love. This last week of our series, Gospel Lessons with Ted Lasso, I want to just recap, since it is the last week. We began this with a reflection with Ted Lasso's challenge to Sam Obisonjo, be a goldfish, Sam. And we held this in conversation with the story of Jesus' baptism in Luke's gospel, wondering how we might remember rightly, is what Pastor Matt said, through the lens of the sacred memories of the Exodus and crucifixion and resurrection, trusting that the telos, which is the end of love, which Jesus will call all of us toward and welcome all into, is an end in which we will all be goldfish. Then we wondered together about that part within each of us, which Dr. Howard Thurman calls the inner sea, and how being curious instead of judgmental might move us further into the heart of God. How might being at home in who we are lead us to love ourselves and one another in ways that are genuine and support the common good? And then last week we watched a powerful scene that involved taping over the name of a corporate sponsor that was emblazoned on the front of the team's jerseys. And I shared what it looks like to speak up for the common good so that our lives actually embody the ancient patterns of God's signature moves, which are unfolding all around us every day. In his book, Way of Love, Recovering the Heart of Christianity, Dr. Norman Wiersbe writes this: to become proficient in the ways of love, we need a sympathetic and supporting community helping us all along the way. So today, I hope to share with all of us three scenes from season 2 of Ted Lasso. It's the 10th episode, and it's called Love and Death, which help us to see what it looks like for a community to come together as they practice how to love in particular. So, you know, the story arc of the whole episode centers on Rebecca and her coping with the death of her father and the complicated relationships that are always there between parents and our children. For those who have not watched the series, I think it's important to just remind us that Rebecca is the boss of AFC Richmond football team, the team her ex-husband, Rupert, owns. And Rebecca is not a warm and fuzzy person. She comes across in a very prickly manner. In other words, I can hear my grandmother say, she does not suffer fools. At the same time, though, we're learning what lies beneath her prickly exterior. She is a person who's been really deeply wounded and humiliated by the very public betrayals of her father and her ex-husband. So this first scene puts us back in the locker room, where the team captain, his name is Isaac, is giving instructions about funeral dress code. Very important. It is a lighthearted look, but we also, Matt and I, think it says a lot about the sort of sacrifice that is really required to become proficient at love. So let's watch.
Oi, so we're all going to his funeral as a team. So that means ties, shirts, and no trainers.
What? Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay. But what if they're like really nice Yeezys? Yeah, yeah.
What color?
Bright red. Okay, I'll wear some dress shoes.
Where do you get dress shoes?
I don't have time to stand in line at midnight and wait till morning to buy new shoes.
You don't have to do that for shoes like these, mate. Nobody wants them.
But they wear them anyway. To quote Colossians 3:14, I think they clothe themselves in love. In 1 Corinthians 13, in verses 4 to 7, Paul describes this kind of love that he is discussing. However, what most of our English translations fail to capture is that all his descriptions are action verbs. They are not the adjectives with which they are so often translated. So instead of reading, love is patient, love is kind, it might be better translated along the lines of love waits patiently. Love acts kindly, and so on and so forth. What might seem to some like a fussy grammatical point between an adjective and a verb is actually quite an important detail. That is, the love that Paul is describing requires action. It's not a passive feeling towards another. In this next scene, we witness then the arrival of AFC Richmond at the funeral, and how much it moves Rebecca that they show up for her. So let's watch this.
My condolences.
Thank you.
Sorry, Miss Wilder.
How many of them came?
All of them.
Another of them are wearing trainers.
That's how much they care about you.
Victor, killing me, man.
Sit down in a minute, mate. Deep breaths, mate.
Rebecca.
Sam. And Colin. And Isaac. And Nathan. Everyone. Thank you all so much for coming.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, sorry for your loss.
Yes, fathers are the train wheels on the bikes of... I just didn't want to say what they said. Sorry for your loss.
Rebecca's not only moved that the whole team shows up for her, she notes the wearing of dress shoes. None of them are wearing trainers. They are loving her in the particular, and in so doing, she is honored and comforted. And if you have ever been on the receiving end of something like this, you know how much it can change you. Unfortunately, that's not often the kind of love we experience in our relationships one with another. Even with those we truly love, we are not always kind. I am talking about myself too. When you add the stress of multiple pandemics we are experiencing, it can sometimes feel impossible to become more like the lover that God longs for us all to be. So with the help of a blog I read this week by a Reverend Terry Daly, I've been thinking about yet another translation of 1 Corinthians 13. So like, what if it reads like this? Love becomes patient. Love becomes kind. Love becomes less coercive, boastful, irritable, and resentful. Love bears more and more things, believes more and more things, hopes and endures more and more things. Because after all, isn't that how we learn to love? To the extent that we live centered in God's perfect love, yeah, we succeed. To the extent that we live centered in our own egos, we fall short. Either way, though, learning to love is a lifelong project, and it takes a lot of practice, which is why we believe being part of a community of faith that watches over one another in love in small groups we call kitchen tables is so important. I know I'm being repetitive. I'm doing it on purpose. Norman Wiersbe, again from his book, life alone is a life without love. It isn't simply that people sometimes feel that they are not deeply and practically loved by others. It is that they lack the communal contexts in which love can be taught, modeled, and exercised. To learn to love, you have to practice with other people who are committed to inspire you when you're tired, celebrate you when you succeed, comfort you when you fail. To learn the ways of love, you have also to learn the ways of communal life. In this final scene from Ted Lasso that we're about to see, we are inside now the funeral in the church. Remember that Rebecca has a very complicated relationship with her father. As it turns out, so does Ted Lasso with his own father. If you noticed, Ted did not get off the bus. That's because he has been reliving his own pain in a much-needed therapy session with the team therapist. The funeral begins, and Rebecca is called upon to give a eulogy that she actually has no desire to give, and her mom has asked her to do it. And just as Rebecca begins, Ted finally slips into the church in the very back row. With her support team in place, Rebecca tries to begin, but she struggles. And as she stutters, she starts to sing a song. It's called Never Gonna Give You Up. And it's a song her mother played, which drove her nuts. But in this moment, it is the song which expresses just what she needs to say. And when she falters in tears, well, let's watch and see what happens.
My father was we're no strangers to love. You know the rules. And so do I. Full commitments when I'm thinking of. He wouldn't get this from any other guy. I just want to tell you how I'm feeling. Try to make you understand. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say.
Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
Never gonna give you up.
Never gonna let you down.
Never gonna run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry.
Never gonna say goodbye.
Never gonna tell a lie.
Hurt you.
gonna give, never gonna give.
Give you up.
Never gonna give, never gonna give.
Give you up.
Thank you.
In her writing, Barbara Brown Taylor reminded me this week, and I'm reminding all of us, that the wisdom of the Desert Fathers includes the wisdom that the hardest spiritual work in the world is to love the neighbor as the self. To encounter another human being not as someone you can use, change, fix, help, save, enroll, convince, or control, but simply as someone who can spring you from the prison of yourself, if you will allow it. All you have to do is recognize another you out there, your other self in the world, for whom you may care as instinctively as you care for yourself. To become that person, even for a moment, is to understand what it means to die to yourself. And this can be as frightening as it is liberating. It may be the only real spiritual discipline there is. May these lessons from these weeks from Ted Lasso and our sacred text help us to see the possibilities for practice that are at the heart of our faith. And for some of us, this looks like signing up for the few openings we have right now for our next Growing in Faith, our online Growing in Faith, to simply learn more. 6 weeks, that's it. For some, it may mean it's time to reach out to Penny to reconnect with your kitchen table or a kitchen table after you've had your time away. For some, it might be recommitting to the practice of how you are loving yourself, how you are loving your kitchen table and the world with a bit more vulnerability. And for some, like Ted, on the way to the memorial service, it may mean you simply need to take your time and sit with someone who will listen to you. If nothing else, friends, whatever your takeaway is from lessons in Ted Lasso, the lessons in Ted Lasso, we hope we are in this together. We may just be on our way to the kind of particular love Barbara Brown Taylor was longing for as a college student, and that the Apostle Paul was guiding us toward long ago in Corinth. Amen.
Jesus could have invited those long ago friends in his final days to love in the abstract. He could have given them a note about what they needed to believe, about the simple things that they could just share when they were asked if they were faithful. But what he did was gather the particular people that were with him, and he invited them to do something really radical, and that was to see themselves around a table in the breaking of bread, and then to trust that in that scene we might find ourselves dying to self and actually seeing God in the breaking of that very bread. And so we this day seek to follow in that long, long line of particular people who have gone before us, and to join with them at God's table which is open and welcome to all. And we do that recognizing some of the ways in our own life we might sit in that back pew like Ted and not sing out that line that the person in front of us really needs. Or when someone does that, we might not be like Keely and join the chorus. And so we recognize that we fall short of being a part of God's chorus, and we do that in what the church calls a prayer of confession. So I invite those in the sanctuary to stand as you're willing and able, and we will join our voices together in this prayer of confession. Merciful God, you gave us life to make a difference. You call us to do the same. We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. Forgive us, we pray. Abide with us so that together we may lead with love. Amen. And so, friends, on this day, may you hear and feel in the depth of your own bones the love of God that abides with you, with all of creation, now and always. May God's love and forgiveness be yours in this moment. May the people of God say amen.
Amen.
And I invite you to join with me in the call and response that has become the church's practice of recognizing ourselves in God's self in each and every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
The Lord be with you. And also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, the painter, the creator, touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. To celebrate God through holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens, and God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings began to make waves. God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight. God looked upon all of creation and said, this is good. And when everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, you're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good. But it wasn't good for long, because God's people couldn't put away those trainers and find it within themselves to wear those dress shoes. God's people couldn't discern how to love the person right in front of them. And so God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out justice and hope and beauty and compassion and placed it in a form that the people might recognize, a single holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be and to call us to abide in God's unfolding grace.
Did all he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other in the particular. but we couldn't accept that. We couldn't agree about it, and we were afraid. Principalities and powers lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. In the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was too great for them. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table, and he promised them, and he promises us, that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those long ago companions, we don't always understand the message that Jesus is bringing to us, or what is coming and going and coming again means for us, but we can be grateful, and we can sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
On that night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple meal that was their Passover dinner. He took bread and wine. He blessed it and he gave thanks to God, saying that I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me.
Us to pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples long ago that has been passed down through the ages by the church, and we call it the Lord's Prayer. And we invite you to address God in the way that is deepest in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit upon those of us gathered here and spread across many places. Pour your Spirit upon the gifts which are before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, Christ's love alive in the world. Amen.
You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love. What that means is everyone is welcome at the table of God's love. Full stop. We encourage all of our friends that are with us, that are at home, to bring close to them their bread and their juice at this time. We encourage all of us here in the sanctuary to take a breath, to wait as our communion stewards take their place, and then Avery will come down the center aisle and invite you pew by pew. Go out this door, share in God's feast, and then come around where the signs will lead you back in the door. There are places to play, pray, play in the sand, in the light, in the love. Also, you may just simply sit quietly as our music team plays music. We want you to know there's not a thing you can do to make a mistake. We are in God's divine dance, watching over one another with distance and love together.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of the new covenant poured out for you. Amen.
Thank you.
want to encourage those who are praying with candles to stay for as long as you need. Loving God, we give thanks for your divine dance, your holy mystery through which you are revealed to all of creation in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread. May your peace make us one and call us and form us in your ways of love, made known in the one in whom we place our hope, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We want to encourage you to continue responding to God's love, which is shaping your life and all of creation. There are so many ways that we do that here at the table. One of those ways might be to take a next step with growing in faith or into a kitchen table. It may be a next step of reaching out to Penny and wondering about what that could look like for you. It may be going online and signing up to join with others for Habitat for Humanity this coming Thursday and Friday as we work alongside people from other communities of faith to build homes here in Sacramento. For many of us, part of what that looks like is practicing generosity. And it means giving of our own financial resources so that this community can not just survive, but thrive in expressing the embodiment of God's love. And so we encourage you to go online and to make a gift. You can do that by texting. There are also places here in the sanctuary where we encourage you to give generously. For our folks who are online, Molly and Chloe in just a moment are going to invite you all to move together to virtual coffee tables. You'll need to sign in if you would like to connect with others. It functions, again, much like Zoom in that way. And it is a way to practice being in community together as we continue to move in worship. Our music team is going to help us this morning to go out in song. I invite those in the sanctuary to stand as you're willing and able. This is a song that comes to us from Young Oceans called Are We Not One?
Oh, are we rivers coursing every valley? Oh, are we waves upon the shores of time? Oh, are we stardust gathered through the ages? Are we not dreams of the one eternal mind? Oh, are we trees rising to the heavens? Oh, are we flowers unfettered by the thorn? Oh, are we pillars of a great eternal? Are we not one? Oh Lord, are we not yours? Have we not joy in the midst of every shadow?
Have we not hope
in the deepest of the dark?
Have we not peace
that passes understanding? Fashioned in your image. Oh, are we daughters carrying your name? Oh, are we families across the generations? Are we not sparks from an everlasting flame?
Okay, I saw some Rams shirts out there. So I'm going to love you Rams people in particular today. Seriously, right now, the love of God is binding us together as one. So go forth from this place, trusting in that very same love. Go in power and go in peace. Amen.
Oh, are we light, summoned by the light? Oh, are we gleaming and dancing on the shore? Lord, can we hold each other through the crossing? Are we not one, oh Lord?